Well, one of our members from Adelaide, Carolyn Jasinski, is back. Remember last week she was a cruise guru. Well, she's still a cruise guru, but she's got a tale from dusk till dawn on the sea princess. And it's all to do with piracy on the high seas. Hey, Carolyn, you obviously survived.
I did, thank you. It was a little bit scary there for a while, but yeah, we're all smooth sailing in the end. But it got quite serious. So we had 1,900 passengers and we were on board the Sea Princess, the 104-day world cruise from Sydney. And I was on board for the first leg from Sydney to Dubai. And we'd pass through Melbourne and Fremantle. And coming out of Fremantle, we get told that there will be coming up a dusk till dawn ban. And we thought, what the heck's going on? So there was no deck parties, just for 10 days. No deck parties, no movies under the stars, no late night outdoor bar hopping, pool dipping, no lights, no party atmosphere, no lapping up those warm tropical breezes on your balcony. All the outside cabin lights had to be off and curtains closed. And all around the ship, as every time the sun set, all the curtains were drawn and the shutters were closed. It was daunting. So the Sea Princess is normally lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
But all those bright lights were going to be dimmed and she was going to turn into a ghost ship. So everybody on board thinking, what on earth is going on? You know, there's all this nervous speculation going on. I'll tell you what, it was spreading faster than a norovirus amongst all the passengers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mood darkened a bit and there were rumours of terrorists. You know, have they uncovered some plot to blow up the ship? And the answer in the end was not quite that sinister, but it was really serious. The ship was preparing for pirates.
Yeah, this wasn't in the fine print.
No.
Well, not in the brochure.
No, I certainly wasn't aware of it. And I asked a lot of people. Everybody was caught by surprise.
So you didn't need your eye patch and your cocky.
No.
Right.
No, some people were expecting Johnny Depp to come, you know, across the horizon in the Black Pearl. But, no, it got really serious. So the captain came on, he addressed the ship, he apologised for alarming passengers, but then he said, you know, the threat of piracy is real and the ship had to be prepared. So we left Fremantle and we were heading towards Colombo, Sri Lanka, and he said for 10 days, it was from June 6th to 16th, and we were northbound, cruising the Indian Ocean, and then we're heading for the Arabian Sea, the Gulf of Aden, and then through the Suez Canal. I wasn't on for that part, but that was the time when this ban was going to be in place. And then it hit me. They'd been playing this documentary on our cabin TVs about piracy on the high seas. And I thought, oh, my God, that's what that was all about.
Didn't they announce that it was about piracy, though?
They did announce it. They said the ban was to get ready for piracy. And then, we'd already been subjected to this, you know, like gentle prodding with this program on the TV. And suddenly all these snippets of information are flooding back in. I'd watched the documentary and I'm thinking, okay, the worst area known for piracy is off the coast of Somalia. And that's what they call a failed state now. There's no government or infrastructure, and it's one of the poorest and most violent countries in the world. And these pirates, sometimes this is the only way they make a living. They operate out of small skiffs, and they're armed with guns and ladders so that they can board ships. The boats are really fast. They're small, but they're fast, and they hide behind much bigger ships. And if captured, the cargo and the crew are taken back to close to Somalia, and you're held for ransom. And sometimes they hold them 4 to 6 months. And one ship was kept for 12 months.
Wow.
So it affects all the owners, but it also affects all the poor sods who are hijacked on board.
Do you know of the defences of the ship? Do they talk about, hey, you're going to be okay? Or what do they present you with?
They do. They go through the whole thing. So from dusk till dawn, as I said, the lights are all turned out. And then on deck 7, which is when we normally stroll around the deck, that is armed with all these high-pressure hoses, they're out all the time. So the fire hoses are there. That's the first line of defence if these pirates try to attack. Deck 7 is where they're obviously easiest to get on board, so they'll hit them with a fire hose. If that doesn't work, then they've got a foam solution. It's like detergent. So they'll hit them with that. And then there's a sonic boom. And this boom apparently can knock people off their feet.
Yeah.
So that's the defence line.
What Officers about a gun?
No guns.
I think that's what I'd be doing.
Oh, yeah, but if the gun gets into the wrong hands, you don't want that. But it's really serious. So we're hit with this, you know, you will have this Dust Till Dawn ban. And then the captain hits us with this, there's going to be a piracy drill. And we're going, what? A drill? So it doesn't mean we're dressing up for another theme night on board the ship. So we're actually heading for a pirate drill. And it's to get us all prepared. And, you know, they say that preparation and cooperation is the key. So we're all told that, you know, you will take part in this drill. It's compulsory. And my job is I'm a guest speaker on the ship.
Oh.
So when you're doing that, you're given a title of supernumerary, which means you're an extra crew member if needed. So I had to go off to the muster, and I'm kind of excited. I hate to admit it, but I'm excited in a terrified kind of way.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like an extra in a movie scene. So I go to the muster station, and I'm all ready, and I'm thinking, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but maybe if the pirates get on board, I need to give them a lecture about how to write a story about all their antics. And I am being flippant, but it was taken very seriously.
What do you wear to this pirate party?
Oh, you take your life jacket.
Right.
And a really good sense of humour. I was okay, so the passengers, they're sent back to their cabin. And they have to go back there so they can be accounted for.
Right.
And they're all counted. And for the purposes of the drill, they only had to stay in their cabins and get crossed off a list by their stateroom attendants. But in the case of a real pirate attack, they're advised to sit on the floor and they have to hang on to handrails in case the ship has to manoeuvre away from the ships. And with a real threat, the passengers in outside cabins have to close and lock their balcony doors. Then they lock their entrance door to the cabin and then they take shelter in the corridors. So that puts two metal doors between them and the pirates.
Wow.
It's quite scary. You know, when they put it in black and white and they explain all that. So the drill went off with a minor hitch. The captain was really happy with how the crew, you know, did all the actions. They did a good job. The only thing that went wrong was that three cabins apparently decided not to take part. And rumour had it that they didn't want to abandon their game of bridge.
Oh, you're serious?
Yeah. But the captain publicly shamed them, didn't name them, but it was actually peer pressure that really put them back in their place. Most of the other passengers were horrified that they got away with it. And I interviewed some of the passengers after the drill.
I'm here with Sandy and Peter. They're from Wangaratta, northeastern Victoria. And we've just been talking about the World Cruise and the piracy drill. And I've just asked them what they thought about the drill. And Sandy's got a really interesting answer. What was it, Sandy?
Well, it's just that this year it was different to 2010 in their procedure. And it should be compulsory for everybody.
Yep.
And last time...
How did it differ?
It differed from last time because Peter had to sit in the doorway of our stateroom.
So it's an outside cabin?
Yes,
yeah. Okay.
And he had to sit in the doorway. Everybody had to sit in the doorways of their cabins. And we had to remain inside. But I locked myself in the bathroom because I thought, if these pirates come, they're not getting me. And they won't get into the bathroom very easily.
That's fabulous. So that it's a lighthearted look at it, but we have to take it seriously, don't we?
Yes, and we didn't have to have this block out at the time of the night that we're having now.
That's right. So just for everybody who's listening, there is a ban on being out on the open decks between sunset and sunrise. Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's taken very seriously, and at the moment we're heading through the Arabian Sea, but it's been in force in the northern section of the Indian Ocean, and it's going to be in force for 10 days.
Mm. Well, we didn't have that last time.
Right.
We had a United Nations ship in the area when we left Dubai last time,
right,
before we got to the Red Sea. And then we had a United Nations plane overhead.
Overhead.
Because there'd been an incident on one of the passenger ships just before we got on. That was 2010.
So in the media, we're not hearing a lot about piracy threats anymore.
No.
But obviously, once we're heading in this direction, a lot of the cruise ships don't go this way. They tend to head up the east coast of Australia and then go in a slightly different direction. But any of the ships that go this way, the threat's very real. Now, I hear we had three cabins who refused to take part in the drill. What do you think about that?
I think that's appalling. They shouldn't have any right to do that when it's something organised for the whole passenger safety.
That's right.
And they really could, if they don't know the procedure, they could put all of us at risk.
That's right.
Although the promenade deck's got so many water hoses on it, and that piercing thing that's going to go through their ears.
Yes.
You wonder how
there's
they
a sonic boom.
Yes. So that's what it is.
That's it. There's a sonic boom. So if a pirate threatens to come on board, they've got a noise that can actually knock him off his feet. So we're well protected.
We are.
Thank you, guys.
It's all right.
Nothing went wrong. No pirates attacked. Obviously, I'm talking to you now, so it was all kind of smooth sailing, so to speak.
Yeah.
It was purely as we headed up the west coast of Australia, so we're in the Indian Ocean, and we're heading towards Sri Lanka and then on to Dubai.
Okay. So it's interesting to me that a big ship like that doesn't have, well, I'd call them a ship's marshal, like aircraft now have air marshals who are armed and who will take a terrorist down. Funny that a big ship like that doesn't have, apparently doesn't have someone like that on board, or more than one.
Look, they could well have something like that on board, but we were not privy to that information.
Do you think you're letting the cat out of the bag now?
I don't think so. I think the effect it had on the ship when I was on board was initially we thought it was a joke and then realised it was very serious. And we took it seriously. And then afterwards, it was really interesting. It was everyone, because they were so alert, it was reassuring that they'd taken those steps to make sure, just in case something happened, that we would be okay, or potentially, well, hopefully be okay, because we knew what we were supposed to do. It actually drove the captain nuts after, because, you know, we couldn't look at a passing fishing vessel the same way. Everybody would be ringing the captain on the bridge saying, there's a fishing vessel off to the left, maybe there's something hiding behind it. And, you know, but he made another announcement and said, look, please trust your officers. They're all on deck. They've got the binoculars. They're on watch. You know, we've got it under control. And surprisingly, very, very few complaints about the whole process, including that 10-day dusk till dawn.
You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.